The following announcement is a special bulletin direct from American International. It may be too late. Our planet may be doomed. Armies have been alerted. The hotlines are in constant use. Civilization is in chaos. The monsters are in revolt. Now a direct report. This is J. Webb in New York. Godzilla is laying waste to the city. The citizens have never known such fear. At the same time, Rodan is attacking Moscow. The city is alert for military action. In London, Manda is spreading horror in its path. And in the Far East, Peking trembles under the wrath of Mothra. We must destroy all monsters. Yes, destroy all monsters, or our civilization will be destroyed. Destroy all monsters is a motion picture. See for yourself. It really could happen. Destroy all monsters in color from American International is rated G for general audiences.
Hey, hello, everybody. This is Michael Rosso. And this is the February Alternative Cinema Podcast. And I'm here with none other than John Fedeli.
Hey, how are you? How you doing? How's everything? Good. Hi.
This is, John, an action-packed month.
I'm glad to hear that because I've been bored lately, so I could do some action-packed.
There's so much going on this month that I don't think it can be contained in one podcast, but we're going to try our best.
We usually manage. So
we have two folks we're going to phone today. Henrik Kuto. Do you remember Henrik?
I remember Henrik. Yeah, used to work here.
Yes, Henrik was an alternative cinema staffer for I want to say a few years.
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years. Yeah. 2 years. He put his time in.
He did it.
He did it. And I always said that when he was here, I always said to myself that he is a performer.
Yeah.
You know, I said, oh, you know, that Henrik Kuto should be out performing, you know, stand-up or, you know, in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. And since he left, he took up the ukulele.
Oh, is that right?
That is right.
Oh.
And now he goes to open mic nights and, you know, he performs.
With his uke?
What is uke?
He's a modern-day Tiny Tim.
I don't know.
Well, Tiny Tim used a uke, didn't he?
Ever since our bad experience with Tiny Tim, I've lost my, you know.
You've lost your bearings with him. Well, he used to play, like, Highway to Hell on a ukulele.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
John and I recorded Tiny Tim in an interview for a cable show we did years ago. And
went bad. He kicked us out.
It was an interview gone bad. In the middle of it, he just got up and just told us
he said, get out. I don't like you, gentlemen. I don't like what you're saying. Please leave. Get out.
Yeah.
It was right before a performance, too.
Yeah, that sucks. Anyhow, Henrik plays the uke. We'll call him in a minute. And then this month, February, is the release of Stephen Romano's Shockfest. And I've been talking about this for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
Crypt of the Living Dead.
Kill me. Put this stake in my heart.
Yeah, Stephen Romano's Shockfest.
Great book.
Great book. Great DVD package, and we're going to call Stephen Romano.
Hey, Stephen!
Put this stake in my heart.
What are you doing?
I can't come out. I'm grounded.
But let's still. I'm gonna dial up Henrik. Henrik is also a young filmmaker.
Yes.
He made a film just recently called Faces of Schlock.
Is that right?
It's a horror anthology film.
Multi-talented, this Henrique.
Yeah,
it's
not out
Is it
yet.
Henrique or Henrik?
His name is Henrik, but you can call him Henrique.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll allow me to do that.
Can you see the digits Henrique. Over there or no?
Yeah, what do you need? What number?
Let's see. Let's see what we got here.
One.
They got to put the speaker thing on first.
Oh, the big one.
Yeah, go ahead.
One.
One.
Yeah.
937.
Nine.
You're not supposed to repeat it.
Oh, I want to make sure I get the right
one. Well,
Oh, I see. Blah, blah, blah.
Who is here?
Blah, blee.
1-8.
Blue, blah.
Did you even play the song? You didn't even play the song, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So you get it very prominently.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Hi, Henrik.
Hello.
Oh, hey. Hold on. We have a
Hold on 1 minute. We forgot to plug your microphone in.
We got a mic pointed to the phone. And we've got to plug it in. Hold on.
We have to do a mic check. Mic check. 1-2-1-2 testing.
Okay. Henrik, talk.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? You having a good day?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh,
okay. So
fantastic.
So let's make believe that the phone just rang. Okay, so you guys say hello again. Go ahead.
Hello. Hey, how's it going, guys? It's Henrik here. I'm on the phone.
Hey.
On the phone.
On the phone.
John, there's your answer. Because John want to know if you're called Henrique.
Do people ever call you Henrique, to be fair? I mean, because you...
A lot of people call me that.
What are some of the more interesting ways that people butcher your name?
I get Heinrich a lot, which is weird because there's no, like... I don't see Heinrich when I look at my name.
That's German.
I get Heinrich, I get Henrique, I get Enrique, Enrique.
Lots.
Those are the main ones.
Wow.
So, this is Henrik. And I've been explaining to John that pretty much, I mean, if I had to say one thing, it'd be like, we call you a young artist.
Wow, now that might be the nicest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I said to John that you were a staffer at AC for what, 2 years?
A little over 2 years, yeah.
Since leaving AC, you've become quite the artist, a performer. You're making films. You go out and perform in public, correct?
Yeah, actually, long story short, when I came back from living out in New Jersey and working at AC, I came back to Ohio, and on the way, a friend of mine dragged me to my first open mic. I had been playing ukulele for just, you know, I don't know, 5 months, 3 months, something like that, and I had such a good time. The moment I got back to Dayton, I started playing shows. I played 2 shows that January, and then I played consistently up until May when I had a falling out with my drummer. And now I've been playing, I play open mic every Wednesday night just to try and, like, you know, hone the ability to play in front of people, especially people who don't want to hear me play.
You turn people around with their opinion of the ukulele?
I try to, because I don't play any Hawaiian music, and I don't play, the other thing I don't do is ironic covers, because everybody who picks up a ukulele plays, like, you know, I'm a Creep.
Right.
You know, they play, like, you know, sad songs or ridiculous songs that everybody knows, and I never do that. I write bizarre songs for it, but I never do the ironic cover.
Right, you never do the what would be expected.
Yeah, like people would expect you to come out, especially when you look like me, because I kind of got like the biker carnival trash facial hair. Like they'd expect me to come out and like play Britney Spears because it'd be ironic and funny. And I've just never been into that because, you know, on YouTube you can find thousands of people doing ironic ukulele covers.
Really, I had no idea it was so widespread.
Shocking. YouTube has really embraced the ukulele. I've met probably about 50 people who sincerely play the ukulele for the love of it and are really into it thanks to YouTube. And I'm actually, it looks like in June I've been invited to the Ukulele World Congress, which is actually in Indiana.
Whoa.
Which is just a 3-hour drive from where I am.
Cool, man. Well,
I'm very excited. I'm very proud and excited for you because, you know, I have no kids, so... Of course, you know, anyone that's a staffer somehow becomes like, you know, family member.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm quite proud of you that you've, you know, it's a big step to go and perform in front of people.
It was something, man. Like, the first time I did it, it was actually at a dance club, and they did art nights on Thursdays. It was just, like, not the crowd that you want. And it took, like, every inch of power to get them to care about what you were playing. And then, of course, the later you play, the more drunk they are, and then the more receptive they are to it.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone ever accosted you or thrown anything at you?
Absolutely. I actually got a really good story about that. My second show ever, which was, I believe, January 28th of 2009, which, like, today or tomorrow is, like, the year anniversary of it, but... I was playing my music, and it was the second show we'd ever done, and this girl, who was really bizarre, she had been at my first show, and she was doing, like, the I'm a girl at a club, and I'm drunk, haha, like, she was, like, rubbing against me and stuff while I played.
Whoa.
There isn't a stage, it's actually, like, a fishbowl, like, everything goes downward toward the band. So you can just walk up. Well, it turns out, I guess she didn't think something I said was funny, or she didn't like a song, but she decided that it'd be okay to just kick me right in the nuts while I was playing.
Oh,
no, stop. For real?
For real. For real.
Wow.
It became infamous here in Dayton, Ohio.
That's crazy.
Which is put everywhere, and it got misconstrued a bunch of different ways. But basically, she kicked me in the nuts, I mean, not super hard, but you guys know, like,
right.
any amount of contact.
Yeah.
Like, I have to sit down if somebody misses kicking me in the nuts because I think about how bad it hurts.
It's not about how hard it is, it's where it's placed.
Yeah. So what happened was she did that, and, you know, nobody in the audience really realized what had happened, and I do a lot of weird things on stage, so at first they think I'm joking. And I'm like, no, this girl really kicked me in the nuts. Like, throw her out. Like, she can't be here. She hit me, and then...
She's a nut kicker.
I went on, like, this insane rant that I called my Bill Hicks rant, because I just, like, snapped, because I was so angry, and I was in pain. And finally, I just yelled at her until she left because she didn't want to hear someone yelling over the speakers of the club at her all night.
Hmm.
Wow.
Maybe I should set up speakers.
I thought that would be my last show ever, but they actually then booked me 3 weeks later at the same place.
Oh.
Hannah Montana, I want to slam ya. Miley Cyrus is pregnant with my two-headed love child.
Miley Cyrus is pregnant with my...
Two-headed love child.
I was going to say red-headed stepchild.
I don't know.
Two-headed stepchild, and then I heard the song, and I sprung to life. I said, wow, I mean, it just sounds like a hit. It sounds like something that every college or, you know, early morning radio station would play. You know, like the early morning zoo, whatever they call that.
The zoo.
Yeah.
It's a shoe-in for the zoo.
Yeah, and so I was like, you got to get this out. You got to, like, send this to every radio station in the country because it's just so kind of topical. And pop culture, Miley Cyrus.
Right. And the cover is very provocative.
What? There's a cover?
Yes. It's Henrik is wearing like a smoking jacket or something.
Hold on, let me see this. Oh, shit.
A sensual pose in the smoking jacket.
Well, see John imported this into iTunes. See, I never knew there was a cover.
Yeah, there's a little art piece that I attached. I tried to make the MP3 file, which is available free right now at ukeordie.com.
That's too complicated.
I tried to make the MP3 file literally like if you bought it on iTunes, it's the exact same thing you'd get.
Wait, hold on. Let's back up. It's okay. Where could you get this for free?
You can get it for free at ukeordie.com. That's UKE, like ukulele.
Yes.
Or die.com.
Okay. And this is on iTunes as well?
No, it's not. It's not yet. We're actually, I'm actually handling it right now because Miley Cyrus is Pregnant is actually an update song. I took the old blues tradition of updating old songs. It's an update of Debbie Gibson is Pregnant with My Two-Headed Love Child from 1989 by Mojo Nixon.
Oh.
So Mojo's retired, so I'm literally waiting on the go-ahead from his management, which will probably come in about a week or two, to sell it.
The go-ahead or the lawsuit.
Yeah, I doubt he's going to sue me because Mojo Nixon actually encourages the piracy of his music.
Oh, okay. Now, I mean, I think you should be prepared because, for real, if, like, tomorrow in all the headlines, Miley Cyrus actually becomes pregnant, I mean, then you really have something here.
Yeah.
That's true. Actually, I'm doing a show. My big Dayton, Ohio comeback show is actually this coming Saturday. I know by the time this airs, it'll have already occurred. But it's my big comeback show, and I think one of the big things I'm going to have to talk about is how the rumors are not true and that John Edwards is not the father of Miley Cyrus' two-headed love child. It is me, and the song will prove it.
Although John Edwards sure does get around, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does.
What a whore.
I know, I should have been a Democrat instead of a musician.
A Democrat? You get more pussy, apparently.
So,
I would say that that's true.
So if everyone goes to ukeordie.com, they can get this single for free.
Yes.
It's absolutely free, and I intend to keep it free. If for some reason I'm not given legal rights to publish it, that doesn't mean I can still not give it away for free.
Okay.
Right.
So
you can't make any money on it.
It'll always be free. It's just if we get the right to publish it, then I'll register it and then...
Yeah.
We have another few minutes, and in that time, can you tell us and our listeners a little bit about you have a film that's not yet available, but soon to be available, Faces of Schlock. Can you just tell me a little bit about it?
Oh, absolutely. Faces of Schlock is like my love project. It's something that When I was younger, we made like a backyard compilation. It's basically an anthology, but with four different filmmakers, myself, Chris Lamartina, who did Book of Lore and Grave Mistakes, which will be coming out this year.
Yes.
Justin Channel, who did Die and Let Live, which has been out on DVD for a few years now. And Andrew Shearer, who's the legendary Georgia Underground filmmaker and photographer and writer. And each of us, we're all in different states. We each made a short film, and then I shot a bunch of wraparounds, and we put it all together. It's kind of a horror comedy mess, I guess. It's hosted by Slut Pyro, which is our parody of the buxom bombshell female horror host.
So you did a film where you had people, filmmakers in different states, contribute segments to make the whole film.
Absolutely. My short was shot in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and a little bit of it, pickup shots and stuff here in Ohio. Then Chris Lamartinez was shot in Baltimore, Maryland. Justin Channels was shot in Morgantown and Fairmont, West Virginia. And Andrew Shearer's was shot in Commerce and Athens, Georgia.
And it all comes together to be a horror anthology film.
Yes, it does.
Called Faces.
And I'm very proud of it. Everybody, considering we had very little to work with, you know, very little money, everybody really put their best foot forward and put all the time and effort they could into it. So I'm super, super proud of the product.
And it's called Faces of Schlock.
Yes, and there is more information at facesofschlock.com.
Very good.
Hmm. Awesome. You've been a very busy little boy.
I try to be. I try very hard to be.
Good.
The next thing is I have an album that I've been putting together with a local musician here in Dayton that'll be called The Folk Album. It'll be the first 12 songs I've written. I've actually written 20 songs. The other day it dawned on me. It kind of freaked me out. So we're going to put together an original album of those. They'll be available on ucordi.com, which, by the way, is everything I've written, everything I've recorded is pretty much accessible at ucordi.com. That's pretty much just the hub of everything. Yes. I do.
Ucordi.com. UKEORDIE.com.
Yeah, or as people who read the web address, if I don't capitalize each letter at the beginning of a word, they think it's ucordi.
Okay.
Ucordi, huh?
So,
well, it never gets them to remember it.
Henrik, I want to thank you for coming on.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad to be on. You guys do entertain me every month. I do listen.
Oh.
You're one of the three podcasts I listen to.
The kids are listening.
Consistently.
Well, it's nice to know that the kids are listening out there.
What are the other two? The ukulele podcast and...
I bet there is a ukulele podcast.
There's got
to
be.
I listen to the Geologic podcast, which I very much recommend, and Nobody Likes Onions, which is a pretty popular show.
Right.
Wow. Well, thanks for coming along.
We're going to talk about those. We're on another show.
We're going to play...
Cinema Podcast.
What?
We're going to play your song at the end of the... We're going to play the song in its entirety at the end of the podcast today.
Awesome. I can't wait. And please, you know, if anybody sends you any feedback about it, I'd love to hear it. Send them my way.
Great. Okay.
All ball kicks and congratulatory statements will be sent to you.
We're going to be in touch soon, Henrik.
All right. You guys have a great rest of the show, and thanks so much for having me.
All right, pal. See ya.
See ya.
Bye. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Always a nice young man.
He is a nice young man.
He was a very flamboyant dresser, though.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I forgot to ask him about. Yes. If he's still dressing as crazy as he used to.
The dress his dress code was actually too crazy for this office.
Yeah, did you impose something on him at one point?
Well, yeah, we don't have a dress code here. Like, there's no dress code in okay, for anybody out there who couldn't believe this is true. There is a company manual. What do you call that? A
regulation book?
Absolutely. It's a regulation book for, you know, rules and regulations for the company and how to behave, how to dress. Like, if you're in the kitchen, you may not want to, like, say anything that's, you know, offensive because there may be other people there that are sensitive.
Right.
And, yeah, so.
And one of them was no wearing orange, yellow, green pants with purple, you know, pink and
if I could be fair,
olive tops.
To be fair, and I'm is perfectly honest, it is possible that the combination of colors that Henrik would wear would induce a seizure.
It would have, yeah.
So,
plus, they were like, you know, fluffy pants and
yes,
coats, and he was quite a walking. I don't know what.
Yeah. So you noticed.
And I remember. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
Well, there is a lot to be said for individualism.
Oh, he's a total individual. That's why I'm sure that whatever projects he he's on to would be interesting, at the very least.
As I said, and I mean this sincerely, as you know, someone who worked here, a creative person, it's always thrilling to see someone go out and actually do something. And I'm waiting for the day where someone leaves this facility and actually hits it big.
Big time.
Yeah, because I would like to, you know, be backstage at some big, you know, like Feed the World charity concert hosted by Henrik Kuto.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, he flies me in on a helicopter.
Yeah.
It'd be nice, right?
Oh, yeah. And then you wake up. And then you're like, fuck.
Well, good. Yeah, so we'll hear from Henrik again. Thank you very much.
I'm sure we will.
Hey, you know what? Let's take a quick break, and
we will be right back.
Hi. Hello. My name is Ken.
And my name is Seth. We're the hosts of the Movies About Girls podcast.
We'd like you to listen to our show, because on our 50th episode,
we're going
to
kill a guy.
Until then, we're going to watch hardcore pornography
and laugh at jerks.
So if you like tits and murder
and gags and bitterness,
then listen to the Movies About Girls podcast, the podcast for teenage losers of all ages. MoviesAboutGirls.com.
The two most terrific names in screen evil together in one shock show. Horror of Frankenstein and Scars of Dracula. Your ticket entitles you to be frightened out of your wits at no extra charge. Horror of Frankenstein and Scars of Dracula. In color, rated R.
Hey, we're back. And,
hey!
we're going to give Stephen Romano a call. He is the author of the book Shock Fest, and also behind the Stephen Romano's Shock Fest DVD. This is an exciting release for us. It's been in the works for a very long time.
Right.
So before we call Stephen,
because
you know, we like to do our homework, even though we're doing our homework. Actually, my mother would call us last minute Charlies.
Last minute Charlie.
It's like, you know, I'd be sitting up doing my homework that had to be due the next day. This is, of course, when I was in high school.
Complaining.
This is in the Stone Age.
Yeah.
When we had typewriters.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
And, and you're a last minute Charlie if you are doing your research 2 seconds before the actual event. So we're looking up Stephen Romano to see what his IMDb credits are.
Yes, which are? What do you want to know?
What did he have to do with Masters of Horror?
It says one episode, incident on and off Mountain Road. He was a writer.
Great. What else?
2005. He was also a writer of Bubba Nosferatu, Curse of the She-Vampires in 2011, which is upcoming, I guess.
Yes.
He's composed music for Fear, Panic, and Censorship in the year 2000. In 1996, he did ELM, Entry Level Male. And as an art department person, he worked on Psycho Holocaust this year.
Wow.
Or last year.
Let's call him up.
Give him a call. Hey,
what's the number?
1-5-5.
Bob, beep.
1-4.
Top
4. Oh, seems a little loud, doesn't it?
Yeah, we'll see
what happened. Two ringy dingies.
One ringy dingy.
Hello.
Steven?
Yeah.
Hey, Steven, it's Michael Rosso. I'm here with John Fedeli.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, man. What's up?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
We are, this is our February Alternative Cinema Podcast, and we are, and I know a lot of other people are, very pumped about the DVD release of Shock Fest.
Yeah.
And it would not be, it just wouldn't be the same if we didn't talk to you, the creator of Shock Fest.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Everyone I've talked to in the last few months either has the book or has been so receptive to the whole theme of Shockfest. And I was wondering if you could tell us, you know, how did the whole idea of Shockfest, the book, I mean, how did it come to be?
Well, it was an idea that I got when I was about 13 years old. And I think a lot of people, you know, would kind of doodle in my notebooks, you know, instead of doing homework. And a lot of the things that I did were posters for movies that didn't exist, and that would make directors like John Carpenter, you know, the filmmakers behind them and everything, and you know, I sometimes I might even make collages, like I would cut stuff out of Fangoria magazine. That's actually how I came up with the title Universe of Bloody Zombies. I was just kind of messing around with typography, and just sort of that kind of came to light. And I thought, you know, later in my career, after I did Masters of Horror, that I would do something really, really original and something that no one would really see coming and something that no one had ever done before. And I came back to my Shock Festival idea, and I thought, why hasn't anybody done this? This is crazy. This whole idea of doing a book of fake movie memorabilia just seems like such a natural. And I realized the reason why no one had ever done it is because it just would be cost prohibitive for any publisher to do something as extensive as I wanted it to do. I wanted it to do over 100 movies plus a whole lot of additional stuff. And I wanted to create an entire history, an alternate timeline that sort of pays homage to the real world of exploitation to go with it so that it would be an actual novel. Again, nothing like it had ever been done before, and I did almost all of the work, or a good percentage of the work, in advance of even having a publisher attached to it, because what I wanted to do was so weird and so kind of, you know, hard to describe in one breath, you know, that that I knew that I would have to have some sort of visual representation of the work itself. And so I put together a demo version of it. I took that to IDW, Idea and Design Works, and then they co-branded the book with Raw Publishing, which is Tim Bradstreet and Thomas Jane's company. And those are really famous guys. Tim is a famous illustrator, and Thomas Jane, of course, is Thomas Jane, you know, the star of Hung and The Punisher. And he agreed to be in the book, and I did a, you know, sort of a second pass on the book where I redesigned everything. I added new movies. Jane was appeared in the book, and so it was kind of like making a movie. You know, I cast the whole thing with my friends mostly. Ashley Lawrence from Hellraiser is a major character, and they're all represented visually, not with just movie posters, but with still frames from the supposed films and lobby cards and soundtrack album covers. And, you know, the idea was to fool even the most diehards out there. But, you know, at the same time, even though I play my cards pretty close to the vest in the book itself, you know, everyone knows it's fiction, and that makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a blast to do. It was 2 years of my life, and as we came to the end of the production of the book, I contacted you guys about doing a DVD companion because I thought that people, after reading Shock Festival, would want to see some of these films. And the next best thing to that is seeking out the films that inspired the book.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of how it happened.
What were the reactions to the book?
What were the reactions, like the critical reaction?
Critic or fandom reaction.
It was overwhelmingly positive. I didn't have one bad review. There was one guy on the internet recently who gave me a bad review of it, and I thought it was for all the wrong reasons. The guy was like, well, this is interesting, but these movies aren't real.
Well, he obviously did not get it.
I mean, you know, that's the whole point. It's a novel. Right. It's not supposed to replace reality at all. It's supposed to be an enhancement of the whole Grindhouse experience. I mean, that is really what it all came down to, my love of Grindhouse movies and horror films and stuff. And it's a big tribute. So, yeah, the reaction was really great. I mean, we got rave reviews. Rue Morgue magazine named it Best Fiction Book of 2008, which was a major award. And, you know, there were some lapses in the promotion of the thing, but, you know, I don't know if that's anybody's fault necessarily. It's just a very unique product. And, you know, I mean, I insisted on it being 358 pages, hardback, full color on every page. You know, it was a gamble, but it did really well. And everybody really, the right people really dug it. I mean, we had people like Joe Lynch, the director of Wrong Turn 2, you know, heaping praises on us right alongside guys like, you know, Fangoria and whatever. So it did really, it was received very well.
So your concept for the book was actually conceived well before Quentin Tarantino and his Grindhouse.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've wanted to do a book of fake movie posters for years.
Right.
You know, and I just thought it was such a naturally cool idea. It evolved into the idea of a novel when I sort of was bouncing the idea off several of my writer friends. And there was this one particular guy named Tom Piccirilli, who's just this terrific writer that I really admire. He suggested writing stories about the movies. And then I started going, well, maybe this could be even more amazing and all-encompassing than I thought. And so it literally did become a novel. But it's all written like film journalism. It's written as if this is a book about all of these movies. That makes it fun. That's the thing I think that guy on the internet didn't get, was that this was a story unto itself.
Right, right. Well, it must be very satisfying that the book is sort of taking on a new life as a DVD.
Oh, yeah, it's great. You know, we had a bunch of filmmakers sign up for no money at all to do these short films and these trailers based on the films in Shock Festival, and it's just it's amazing to see that bread kind of float back once you've cast it in water. It's awesome. And also, again, you know, the main event being all of these awesome trailers that you and I tracked down and we put together for this disc set. And, of course, you know, some really awesome commentary by Uncle Creepy and myself. You know, it's a real Grindhouse 101 experience. Mm. And sort of balances out the whole concept of the fictional world, too. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the commentaries where I talk about, okay, this is a movie that inspired this, or, you know, these are some people that I, you know, was inspired by, you know. So that's cool. So you got the real world, and you've got the reimagining of the real world, if you will. Right. Now, there's a lot of artwork, too, from the book, and some stuff that didn't make the cut also on the disc set. So.
Oh, great.
I can't think of one horror or exploitation film fan that wouldn't like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's a feature film where, you know, someone's going to form an opinion. This DVD release is kind of atypical for us. I mean, it's not a feature film. It's a bundle of fun.
Yeah, well, you know, there have been other trailer compilations before, you know, done by other people. But I think we really kind of, you know.
It's a different vibe, the Shock Fest. The Shock Fest is a kind of a different vibe than just a trailer comp.
Yeah, it is. And it opens a whole new door, you know. And it's the reviews that we've gotten so far have been overwhelmingly positive, too. People have just been like, wow, this is amazing.
Well.
And, you know, it's not just a trailer compilation, of course. You know, it's like I say, it's Grindhouse 101, man.
Right.
If I was just a consumer and I saw this on the shelf, I'd rent it or buy it immediately. I mean, it's the bee's knees, as they say.
It's a must-have.
Yeah, a must-have double bag item, as they say.
Double bag.
Speaking of quotes, I actually have.
Speaking of double bags, your mom's on the phone. Oh.
Wrong one. Oh, John, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Out of the blue. DVD Talk says about Shockfest that delightful when taken in small doses or in an orgy of wallowing. Stephen Romano presents Shock Festival is a perfect thing for the genre fan. It's like a huge box of candy, and only your self-control stands in the way.
That's good.
That's some quote.
Yeah, all the reviews have been along those lines.
We didn't pay for these quotes,
but that kind of sums it up though, because in small doses or just in one, you know, gorge fest, it's enjoyable to look at no matter what. I mean, it's the kind of book that you look, even if you're looking for something else, you kind of spy it out of the corner of your eye, and you got to open it up and look at a couple things and smirk to yourself and put it back and go back to what you're doing.
Killer Reviews said Shock Festival exceeded my expectations in every way. I mean, that's pretty exciting for, as a fan, when, you know, you purchase a DVD, you know, when something really blows you away. It's a few and far between release that really, you know, is super special. So that's an awesome quote.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The Sex Gore Mutants said, "Blaxploitation, porno, and just plain old violent B-movie fare are order of the day here, and it's hard not to love every funky groove, sensationalistic voiceover in every choice clip of contentious dialogue as they vomit out of the screen to you in rapid succession."
Wow.
That's a mouthful.
I haven't heard that one yet.
Oh.
Who's this by? Sex Gore Lovers?
Sex Gore Mutants.
Oh.
If you
Gore Mutants. Interesting.
If you Google Sex Gore Mutants, their website will pop up.
Yeah, I can see where... you know, someone called Sex Gore Mutants would definitely dig Shock Festival.
Absolutely.
seems like our audience. Yeah. Like I say, the right people are getting it. And I think even some people, there was one, I think it was the DVD Talk review. I think it was a guy that had never even watched the trailer compilation before. And he really, really got into it. He really dug it. You know, he was like, wow, never seen anything like this, but it sure is great. And you know, that does obviously make me feel really, really good, you know.
Absolutely. And other news-wise, Rock 102 Online is beginning, and this is early February this month, 2010. Yeah. Shock Festival contest. Listener hears one of the MP3 radio spots, and the ninth caller will win themselves a copy of Shock Fest.
Ooh.
And that's at rock102online.com. Rue Morgue Radio is also having a giveaway. On the street date, and that's the release date, which is February 9th.
Awesome.
And
they were big supporters of the book too, obviously.
Yeah, it's really, really, really awesome. So the I expect that, you know, after Feb 9th, I'm really, really excited to you know, get the feedback from the street, so to speak, of all the folks that I know that have bought it. Because I've run into many a folk who have said, you know, they're anxiously awaiting to pick this up.
Yeah, there's a pretty good buzz around here in my hometown, which is Austin, Texas. I live where Grindhouse was actually made. I live literally right down the street from where Grindhouse was made.
Huh.
This is obviously Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez's stomping grounds. There's a big buzz around town about it too. They're running an article in the Chronicle, which is the magazine that sponsors the South by Southwest Film Festival here. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a words on the street, definitely, and I think it's going to do pretty well. I think that, you know, it's also reasonably priced. You know, this is a 3-disc set, but we're not gouging anybody. You know, it's amazing that we managed to pull this off.
Right.
And I thank everyone at Pop for believing in it for a year.
Oh.
It took us a long time to put this thing together.
It did. From our side of things, John. I assembled all the film elements,
mm-hmm.
This DVD has been in the making for quite some time.
It's highly anticipated.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've actually been planning it for well over a year because I got in contact with Alternative Cinema because Paige K. Davis had initially contacted me to do some artwork for you guys based on the work done before. And I was like, hey, you guys want to do this DVD and you're really plugged into the idea. And I hope it does well. I could do Shock Festival 2, you know.
Oh, that would be amazing. To tell everyone out there who's listening, Shock Festival Disc 1 is what's called tribute trailers, which are a series of trailers produced by independent filmmakers from around the world. And they each picked a fictional film from your book, correct, Stephen?
Oh, yeah.
They picked an actual movie that was in Stephen's book and made that trailer.
Everybody wanted to be Darby Silver.
Oh, that's correct.
Which is the fictional filmmaker I invented to direct a lot of my giallo-type movies. He was this sort of Australian version of Dario Argento. Silver,
yes.
Argento does mean silver in Italian. So it's basically Darby Argento, kind of. So these guys, everybody wanted to be Darby Silver. Michael Gingell, the managing editor of Fangoria magazine, stepped right up and did a great trailer for something called Girl Killer, which is about as thinly veiled a reference to Argento.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, we lost him.
Hello? This could be in a commercial for those drop calls.
Right.
What provider has drop calls?
All of them.
Hold on. Let's see if we can get him back.
Okay, I'll entertain the masses.
Where's the reader?
One ringy dingy.
One ringy dingy.
That is so effing
loud. Sorry, we got cut off there.
Oh. Drop call, it happens.
Nah, it's all right.
What are you walking around with?
Anyway,
the
everybody
cappuccino?
Wanted to be Darby Silver, you know, so. We just let them all at it. You know, pretty much everybody did what they wanted to do, and the love in it really shows.
Yeah.
Really.
So disc one.
What?
No, I was going to say disc one is the tribute trailers, original, you know, made by filmmakers, and also has an exploitation trailer vault.
Yeah.
Disc two is horror trailers and TV spots.
Yeah,
and one of the
great TV spots on there.
One of the coolest things is disc three, which is actually a disc of MP3s.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, it's all...
radio spots.
All
Yeah, radio stuff. Actually, from the original vinyl record album that they would send to radio stations. I ran into a fan. I was of Shock Festival. His name is Justin Dunnock, and he had a whole closet full of them. And I was like, "This is just great." So we put like a few hundred of them on there. It's a real bargain for what you're paying for it.
Yeah.
What a bargain.
I know. Let's not forget Mars too. He did some great music tribute stuff for the MP3 disc as well.
Yeah. It was a really awesome experience bringing kind of all these people together to make this. I can't wait for February 9th so that everyone can wallow.
Wow.
You know, have their orgy of wallowing. So, well,
yeah,
Stephen, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us.
Yeah, man, thanks a lot for having me.
And we're going to keep talking about Shockfest here, and we'll be in touch with you soon.
Okay, man.
All right, see you.
Thanks, Stephen. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh.
Nice.
Well, he's a very enthusiastic guy, which he should be, because the book is fucking killer. That's how I would describe the book, fucking killer.
That book is a piece of art.
It is fucking killer, dude.
That was a killer book.
And the DVD, I'm sure, will be a great companion. I haven't seen it yet. Two sex gore mutants have seen it, but I haven't.
You're not the only one annoyed. Some other insiders here at AC has, you know.
People that have actually contributed to it, probably.
They don't even have their copies yet.
What the hell?
It was very...
What the hell?
Everything was very well guarded and, you know, sort of like the winners for an Academy Award. Like a sealed envelope.
Yeah.
So.
Tell me what movie this is from. What the hell?
I have no idea.
Guy says, what the hell? Terminator, when Arnold Schwarzenegger comes to Earth.
Is that right?
And there's a janitor.
Oh.
And he walks out and he's like, what the hell?
Is that right?
I believe so, yeah. People can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right.
Take a break.
And we'll talk about the shit my dad says.
Yeah, you guys got to stick around and listen to about shit my dad says. We're going to take a break and listen to a spot from killerreviews.com. KillerReviews.com. That's Greg Dumont.
Dumont.
Do you remember who he is?
Greg Dumont.
Let's see if John even remembers. Go ahead.
Of course I remember.
Who's Greg?
Greg Guy.
There you go.
I don't remember anybody.
Greg is a friend of the podcast and is a webmaster for the podcast.
I don't think I've ever met Greg.
No, of course you didn't meet him.
Well, how the fuck am I supposed to know who he is?
Because like every podcast, I'm like, and special thanks to our webmaster, Greg Dumont.
By that time, dude, I'm already checked out.
And then you always say, Dumont.
I do?
Absolutely.
Oh my God, I'm shot. I'm done.
By the way, you know, you guys out there listening don't have a visual, but when we're talking here, I can tell when John checks out. Like I look over and he's just gone.
I'm fucking gone.
So that's what parenting does. Parenting.
Parenting.
And any listener out there who has children... We'll know what John...
Of a young age.
Yeah, we'll know what John has experienced. He has three young children, and I don't have any children. So as a pal, John's my pal, I know him a long time, I can't experience...
Yeah, you can't experience going to bed at midnight, waking up at 4.
No, I cannot.
Trying to fall back asleep, not falling asleep till 5:30, and then getting up at 7:30, and then trying to function all day.
No.
It sucks.
No.
But they're wonderful creatures. Well worth it.
Yes.
Anywho, let's throw it to the...
The killer. The killer review. We'll be right back.
Perhaps they need a good...
Jimmy, are you okay?
Well, Mom, I'm looking at all these horror sites, but I want one that kills.
Killer Reviews is the place to be for horror, science fiction, and fantasy.
Oh. Killer Reviews.
I'll be right back.
Killer Reviews. Horror Reviews. Interviews, a killer podcast in a form for freaks like
Killer Reviews.
So there you have it, Jimmy. KillerReviews.com has everything you need. Jimmy? Jimmy? Jimmy!
Analysis Films, the distributors of the controversial box office hit Caligula, now bring you a new challenge. Maniac. No horror that ever froze your blood, no terror that ever pinned you sweating to your seat can prepare you for Maniac. If you think you've seen it all, you haven't seen anything until you've met the challenge of Maniac. No one under 17 admitted.
And we're back.
Do you want to do news? Or do you want to talk about Shit My Dad Says?
Can we just talk about it real quick? All
right. Now, you know, what the funny thing about Shit My Dad Says is, wasn't I the guy that was all hyped
yes,
up about it?
Yes. Now you're out of it.
I was so hyped up about it, I used to print them out and put them in the kitchen here at the studio.
They're great.
And people would come in and be like, what the fuck? Everyone laughed.
Yeah. Now you're not laughing at all.
Well, I joined the Twitter.
The Twitter?
The Twitter. And I get Twittered every day with Shit My Dad Says. But what's the backstory? What is Shit My Dad Says?
Well, Shit My Dad Says is a tweet. It's on Twitter. And the guy tweets. He's a 29-year-old kid who lives with his 74-year-old father, who apparently is a real character. So when his dad comes up with these gems, he types them into Twitter and tweets them out to his subscribers, which are now well over a million people.
It was 20,000 when I first joined.
It wasn't that long ago. It was only a couple months ago, like 2 or 3 months ago. Now it is well over 1,125,000 followers. So, you know, I'm not the only one who thinks this guy's funny. What do you mean, what is it?
It's a tweet of what?
It's a tweet. Well, the guy's father will say something fucked up, and his son will write it down and then tweet it out. So here's an example of it. Let's see. Where is it? All right, here you go. Here's a good one. 74-year-old man saying this now. He's like, universe is 14 billion years old. Seems silly to celebrate 1 year. Be like having a fucking parade every time I take a piss. Yes, I got him a gift. He had a kidney stone. You piss a rock through your pecker, you deserve more than just a pat on the fucking back. You can watch the house while I'm gone. Just don't call me unless something's on fire. And don't screw in my bed.
Keep going. Okay.
Pressure? Get married when you want. Your wedding's just one more day in my life that I can't wear sweatpants. I want silence. Jesus. It doesn't mean I don't like you. It just means right now I like silence more. The whole world is fueled by bullshit. What? The kid asked me for advice on his science fair project, so I'm giving it to him.
They're classic.
There's how many at this point? There's 97 of them.
Classic.
I mean, I could go on and on, and I probably will. I'll throw them in here and there when I find one.
So if you Google Shit My Dad
Says.
If you Google Shit My Dad Says, what happens?
Let's see.
Because, you know, people, you know, URL, www, you know, people want to get there easily. What is it? How do you get there? What happens? Google. Shit My Dad Says.
Says Justin Shit My Dad Says on Twitter.
Great.
I'm 29. I live with my 74-year-old dad. He is awesome. I just write down shit that he says.
There you have it, folks.
That's it. And it's very entertaining, especially if you had a long day. You just look at some of these. You know, once you get up to speed, you read the new one. You get to know the guy, how curmudgeonly he is, and you know what a pecker he is. It's just so funny.
Is that for us?
I don't know. Maybe.
No, I think so. Maybe Steven's calling back. Maybe Henrik wrote a new song.
Guys, it's my 21st song.
Old news.
News.
News. News. News. News.
And this is not old news. We used to have old news.
Yeah.
But the new...
We're on top of it
now. I don't want to be self-congratulatory. We're really up to speed.
Yeah. Well, dang.
And I haven't complained about anything.
It ain't going to last that long, so let's not just...
I will say this, that this news that we have is very optimistic news.
Hmm.
And you know what it was? Maybe, John, it was just the 2009.
Maybe
it was.
You know,
I mean, you
it's
had
a
major
year for a lot of people.
Major recession in October 08. Yeah. If you archive to the old podcast, you'll hear me bitch, gripe, and complain about the market and filmmaking, and it's not the time to do it. Yada yada.
Right.
Had to go to PBS.org to watch Frontline documentaries about the crash,
which I did watch, which was good, very informative. Informative.
The newest one, by the way.
Yes.
It's new to DVD. I don't think it's a new documentary. It's called Bigger Than Enron.
Who's that? Who could possibly be bigger than Enron?
Well,
AIG?
It's all about talks about the uses sunbeam as an example. Sunbeam.
Sunbeam.
Oh. But it really talks about special interests in politics.
Yeah.
And I will say this. This is all I'm going to say about it. I don't. You know. I'm going to say this. Special interests in politics. That means that somebody, for example, a business owner, a private enterprise, gives contributions to a politician for their campaign. And then, because the contributions are so big, that politician now has a special interest in that group and lobbies for them to get laws passed.
Bills, or puts the kibosh on bills that
have to do with
unhelpful to his constituent. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
Bills about regulating banks.
Regulating
things. And I will say this.
Right.
It's a big problem, John.
It sure is.
I mean, it is a big, big problem. And I'm not... you would not consider me like a political guy.
No, not at all.
I'm a grassroots guy. A guy, like, for the people in the sense that, you know, not right. Another documentary. So watch Bigger Than Enron. And also, kind of eye-opening, was... Food Inc.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's, my mother actually was trying to get me to watch that.
Yes.
She was appalled by it.
It's not, you know, and it's not so much about, you know, how chickens are treated. It talks about lobbying in Congress and how all these food companies, you know, have jobs connected with the White House. It's not right. Mm-hmm. It's just not right and not fair.
Well, dude, it's a capitalistic society.
Okay, that was my editorial for the podcast.
Okay.
Let's
have a tweet.
Let's have a tweet.
From Shit My Dad Says. I like the dog. If he can't eat it or fuck it, he pisses on it. I can get behind that.
That's a good one. So here's the news.
Or how about the baby will talk when he talks. Relax. It ain't like he knows a cure for cancer and just ain't spitting it out.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Here's the news, John.
Yes,
the news is that on February 9th, Shock Festival DVD is going to be released.
Whoa! That's new news.
I'm Mike Rosso, and here now the news. On February 9th, Shock Fest gets released on DVD. Have a good evening, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Very good. Look at you.
No, that's not all the news.
Well, that's not. That's news we've been talking about for the past half hour.
Yes.
What's even newer than that news?
Well, what's newer than that is the you may say, oh, I didn't know anything about this.
Mm-hmm.
The Night of the Living Dead reanimated.
Reanimated? Nope, didn't know anything about it. What does that mean?
That means that the film Night of the Living Dead was taken by a group of artists, and segments of the feature film were animated by different artists.
Hmm.
And they take each clip from each piece of the movie and they put the movie back together.
Wow.
And each animator, of course, has their own style of animation.
Mm-hmm.
So one may be like a drawing, traditional animation. One may be computerized animation. Another segment may be like... another one may be...
stop motion or something.
Stop motion animation.
Cool.
So this is called Night
the
of
the... The whole movie.
The whole movie.
Wow.
This is called Night of Living...
Might actually get me to sit down and watch that movie.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Because I've never seen it.
And the news is that it's going to be on the web on February 5th at 11 p.m. and February 12th at 11... hold on, let me get my facts straight here. Oh, this is what it says. February 5th, 11 p.m. Mm. February 12th, 11 a.m. This is right from the Facebook.
Where?
I'm glad you asked, John. www.fridaynight-frightnight.com.
Hmm.
And it says here, join Count Victor Von Scary, Baron Randall Graves, Dr. Mac the Ripper, Captain Creepshow, Commander Akuma Minyan.
Why are all these guys like commanders and doctors and...
And
like,
Major Zachariah Insane on February 5th and 12th as they host Night of the Living Dead reanimated on Friday night, Fright Night. and then, just, you know, it gives the link. And I think that... I think everyone out there should know about this.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty exciting.
Sounds fun. I'm definitely tuning in. I saw a Creepshow. I saw Day of the Dead. Is that the mall?
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead.
You know, a few years ago, it was just like, if you mentioned Dawn of the Dead, you're talking about Dawn of the Dead, 1978. Day of the Dead, you're talking about Day of the Dead, 1985.
That's the new one.
Now, it's like, there's two Dawn of the Deads. Yeah. There's like three Day of the Deads. And they're not, you know, these are just...
The new Dawn of the Dead was pretty good.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it, you know, the old one has something to it that just makes it so super special.
Super special Saturday.
Super scary Saturday. It was just a great idea, I thought.
Night of the Living Dead is probably my favorite movie.
Really?
Just a great movie. I love George Romero style.
Even better than Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I like Pee-wee's Big Adventure, but I love Night of the Living Dead. So.
Even more than The Seduction of Misty Monday?
Well, I directed The Seduction of Misty Monday, so, you know, no. Yes. I mean, I'm not in love with my own film.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. I am proud of my film.
Right. But it's not your number one film.
No. Seduction of Misty Monday. John wrote the script. And
based on a story by Mike Razzo.
Yes. You did the director. You were the photographer.
Director of photography.
John shot the movie.
Some music.
And it's a seduction cinema film. I directed it. And to date, my only feature film.
It's just not right.
Hey, go check out Night of the Living Dead Reanimated at FridayNight-FrightNight.com on the 5th and 12th of February. Next up, news.
News!
I would like to talk about President's Day.
What?
President's Day. It's a brand new film by Chris LaMartina.
Okay.
Chris, which if you were paying attention... You would remember that Henrik Kudo mentioned that Chris LaMartina directed one of the segments of Faces of Schlock.
Right.
Hey, right.
Yes.
Chris LaMartina, he made the film Book of Lore, which is coming out on May 18th by Camp Motion Pictures on DVD. And it's a horror double feature, Book of Lore and Grave Mistakes. So, Chris made a new film called President's Day, and it is about a killer Abraham Lincoln... with an axe.
Actually takes place back in the day.
No, it takes place now.
Oh, how does Abraham Lincoln get jettisoned into our
century? No, it's actually a character wearing a mask. You don't know who the killer is.
Oh, I got you.
And Chris is having a screening at a theater that everyone out there can go to. Chris was actually in the studio.
Yes.
And I recorded a segment with him.
Hmm.
So let's cut to that segment. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Let me ask you, before we talk about the screening that's coming up, just tell me a little bit about President's Day. What is it?
Basically, President's Day is my love letter to 80s holiday-based slasher flicks. It's the plot is simple. It's about a high school student council election where a maniac in an Abe Lincoln costume is murdering high schoolers.
And you shot this in the style of a 1980s slasher film?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very much I'm calling it a cross between like Election and Sleepaway Camp Part 2. It's very tongue in cheek. There's a huge body count, you know, sex and gore, all the fun stuff that you've come to expect from your typical 80s slasher flick.
What inspired you to put this together?
It's actually really funny. I'll try to keep this brief since it's a long story, but originally I wanted to make a triple feature of holiday-based slasher flicks, you know, maybe like one for President's Day and maybe two other minor holidays that don't have slasher films already. And when I pitched the idea of President's Day to Jimmy George, my co-producer and co-writer, he said, that's too good to just to make it into a 40-minute movie. So we took that concept, added the student council election aspect, and we were off to the races. We started writing a screenplay. We wrote the screenplay in about a month and started pre-production.
And when you write a screenplay, you write your screenplay with this fellow Jimmy George.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I do.
And does one guy start it, and then you bounce it off to him, and then he rewrites something and bounces it back to you? How does it work?
It kind of depends. Sometimes we literally are in the room, we write every scene together, and other times one of us will do a draft, and the other one will do notes. We wrote the treatment for President's Day together, and then then I wrote a draft, then he revised it, then I did a polish on his revisions.
And do you have a brainstorm meeting before the script?
Oh, absolutely. We both write idea books and then bounce off each other's.
Oh, I see. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Quickly, tell me a little bit about how you assembled it from from a production perspective and then from a talent perspective?
Sure. From a production perspective, you know, we had a little bit of money left over from some advances on various projects. And we decided, you know, we had enough money to make the film. So we contacted some old film school buddies of mine who served as DP and gaffer, my friend Joe Davidson and Dan Tyag. And they helped us bring the film to life. We it was really quick from script to production. It was about 3 or 4 months. Because, you know, just like from an idea to shooting in the actual school. And it was really great. We got to work with some really talented actors. Ruby LaRocca of Seduction Cinema fame, who turns an excellent performance as Michelle, the punk rock chick in the movie. Sean C. Phillips from YouTube's DVD Update and the Donna Murph Show turns in an excellent performance as Dennis, the school nerd. And George Stover of Don Doler's films and some early John Waters stuff, he turns in a great performance as Mr. Wright, the asshole teacher.
Right. Yeah. I watch my DVD update religiously.
It's fantastic.
Hey guys, welcome to my November 23rd DVD update. I talk about all the DVDs and Blu-rays I've gotten over the last 3 weeks.
And I have the device, the DVD player that has YouTube that goes right to your television set.
Nice.
And it's pretty awesome. That's right. So tell me about the event that's happening in February that our listeners that are in the Maryland area can attend, yes?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Tickets are $10. Basically, we're showing the world premiere of President's Day. On what else? President's Day, Monday, February 15th. The screening is in Baltimore City at the Charles Theater. And like I said before, tickets are $10. The screening starts at 7:30. If you want more information, check out facebook.com/President's Day. And I believe our Twitter page is twitter.com/President's Day as well.
That's really awesome. And will there be cast members there?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I believe Sean's definitely going to be there. I'm pretty sure George Stover will be there. I think Ruby will be there as well. I'm pretty positive most of the cast. And, you know, maybe Abe Lincoln will make an appearance.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us and to talk about your upcoming event. And I encourage listeners, if you are in the Maryland area, stop by the theater. What's the name of the theater again?
The Charles Theater.
Charles Theater. And check out President's Day.
Yes. Give me them big panties.
So anyhow, if you're in Maryland or in the Maryland area, go check out the President's Day on the 15th. And you can go to Facebook and type in President's Day and the page will come up. You want to know what else is going on?
Absolutely. It's what I'm here for.
I will... See, this is an action-packed month. If you're like a fan of this kind of stuff, and you kind of, this is like
for me when Tom Waits put out two albums at the same time.
There's so much stuff going on that like you guys and gals can like hop in your car and actually come down and like take part in, like the Night of Dangerous Music, the benefits show for Chainsaw Kiss, which is also Ruby LaRocca.
Right.
And Victor Bonacore.
Victor, yeah, very nice guy.
Victor Bonacore.
Where is this happening?
As John Link will say, Victor Bonacore. Speaking of John Link.
Oh.
John Link is hosting this.
Oh, my God.
A Night of Dangerous Music with Victor Bonacore of Chainsaw Kiss.
That makes me want to go just in itself.
This is John Link. John, of course, John and I have worked with John Link so many times. Because the majority of John Link's filmography is seduction cinema films.
Mm-hmm.
Playmate of the Apes, where he played the missing Link,
yeah.
Which is him in a gorilla outfit with his head, not a gorilla head. Good sport, right? He's a good sport.
Oh, he's a great sport. Awesome.
Lord of the G-Strings, where he's not Gollum, he's Ballum.
Ballum. He pukes all over you. That's one of the funniest fucking things
Gladiator
I've ever
seen. Gladiator Eroticus.
Oh, that's Gladiator, right.
Yes, we both play senators.
Holy shit. I actually was holding the boom microphone for that scene, and I almost lost my shit.
It was that funny, huh?
I was just cracking. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you let Johnny Link vomit on your head.
That's fine.
A faux vomit.
Yeah, it's fine. And also, he is my sidekick.
Chopper.
Chopper. I play Chopper in Mistress Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
So John Link is hosting what's called a Night of Dangerous Music, and I'm going to tell you what this is all about. It's here in New Jersey. It's on February 20th, 8:30 to ? It's at a place called the Clash Bar in Clifton, New Jersey.
Hmm.
And it says here, now this is right off the public Facebook, so it's not like I'm inviting people to a place that, you know, everyone's not being invited. It says after party, the horror bar at the Chainsaw Kiss Family Ranch.
Where is that?
I guess that means you go back to their house.
Oh.
That's pretty awesome. It says, come out to beautiful Clifton, New Jersey, and show your support for independent cinema. And here's some kick-ass rock and roll while you are at it. Beret.
Oh.
Reuniting after 3 years just for this show.
Oh,
this
no.
This is French doomy metal. The Weird Fantasy Band. Face-melting super fast punk. Violent Hearts. Drug-fueled rock and roll.
Yes.
I saw Violent Hearts. I photographed them.
Oh, did you really?
At the
Blue
Lounge.
Right. I saw that. I saw
and,
those photos.
And for each song, they're like, this song's about drugs.
Next song.
This song's about girls. This song's about drugs. Fat Lizzy.
Fat Lizzy.
Whoa, you didn't tell me your mom's going to be there.
Oh!
That's Long Island punk and roll, and hosted by the one and only Johnny Link.
That should be very interesting. I hope they're videotaping this.
This is a benefit show to help raise money to finish the film Chainsaw Kiss is currently in production on, Blood Wings, a Satanic Fantasy. All proceeds go to purchasing and developing film. And they are one of the last crazy people on Earth who still shoot on film, yep. And it ain't cheap.
That's right.
I'm still reading off the paper. Everyone who walks the door will have a chance to sign in, and in doing so, will get a special thanks in the credits. Additional donations are welcome. There will be a giveaway and raffles and all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
If you donate $50, you get a very special credit in the movie.
Whoa. Get a lap dance or something?
I don't know. I'll tell you a little bit about the movie Blood Wings. Blood Wings, a Satanic Fantasy, is Chainsaw Kiss's first feature-length film. It's directed by Victor Bonacore! It stars Ruby LaRocca, Linnea Quigley, George Haig, Brian Barry, Johnny Link. This is John Link. Eddie Bonacore. What was that? Mr. Bonacore's brother.
Yes.
It also features appearances by J.D. Brown. When you know someone, you stop me. Mike Hunchback. What?
Who?
Mike Hunchback. Sean C. Phillips. Do you know who Sean is?
Hey, guys. Welcome to my November 23rd DVD update.
It sounds familiar.
He's the young man, the nice young man who does that My DVD update on YouTube.
Oh, right. Young kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice boy.
William Hellfire. Aaron Russ. Edward X. Young. 42nd Street Pete.
Oh, I know those guys.
Justin Channel. Zane Crosby. I mean, wow. This is quite a list here.
Jam-packed,
Pee-wee. Jam-packed. So I'll tell you, folks, what's great about this. I won't really go on and on. It's $8. You're basically paying $8 to see four bands.
That's bargain.
Yeah, it's you know, I think fair to say.
It's not a good night out.
They're not just looking for a handout.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to give you something to have. And it's all for a good cause.
Absolutely.
God damn it, shooting film ain't cheap. You know, and these guys are hardcore about it. So let's help them out, man.
Shooting film is not cheap. Speaking of shooting film, check out my film photography podcast.
Please.
At filmphotographypodcast.com. The Film Photography Podcast is more popular than our...
I don't believe it.
Is more popular than our original podcast, the one you're listening to, the Alternative Cinema.
Wow.
Podcast.
By how many?
A lot.
Wow.
Yeah. The people from all over the world are tuning in.
Really?
That's great. To the filmphotographypodcast.com.
Well, you know, those people are driven to find a community, photographers.
It's very satisfying. Every day, every week, every month, every day, I meet new people who are shooting film, and it's a nice community.
It's great. Any chicks?
A few.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You going to that Chainsaw Kiss thing?
I'm going.
Yeah.
You should really come.
Yeah. I'm going to try.
It's
really
on
am.
A, let me see what kind of night it's on.
Gonna try very hard.
It's a Saturday night at 8:30.
Another Saturday night.
It's really close by. It's in Clifton.
Yeah, it's right down the street
it's
from
really
me.
Close. A It's a nice place, Clash Bar. Have you been there?
No, I never even heard of it.
They've been there for a few years. I met the gentleman who runs it. Nice, nice guy.
Is it by the Loop Lounge?
It's probably in that general vicinity, yeah. Really quick, really fast. Really fast. Next month, we're going to come back and talk about Rot, Reunion of Terror. It's a feature film we're putting out. It's a horror feature film. Very excited. March 9th. A re-release of Joe Sarno films, Abigail Leslie and Laura's Toys, are going to be on a double feature DVD. And I have some exciting news for Joe Sarno fans.
Save it.
Okay, I'll save it. I have some exciting news for Seduction Cinema fans.
Save it.
How about I give away a little bit?
Okay.
Seduction Cinema, Lord of the G-Strings and Spider Babe are getting an encore run on Showtime in the spring. So Great. Both Lord of the G-Strings and Spider Babe will be back on cable.
Woohoo!
And to celebrate, we are releasing a mega DVD.
Wow.
A DVD collection containing... Wait, your head's going to spin.
Okay.
Gladiator Eroticus.
Mm-hmm.
Playmate of the Apes.
Whoa.
Lord of the G-Strings. Spider Babe.
Wow. All four.
All four films. Like I would call those the Seduction Cinema spoof staples.
Yeah.
Like the late, it's called the late night TV package.
Right. Yeah. Those were the movies that brought a lot of fame and popularity.
Those were the ones. You know, in our, you know, pre-jaded days.
Yes.
John and I worked on every single one of them. And in some way, shape, or form, you know, it was actually on set.
Yep.
Especially the early ones.
Oh, yeah.
The Gladiator Eroticus, I got roped into actually being in.
Well, you acted in quite a few of these movies before you finally, I had enough.
I think Gladiator was it.
Was it?
Yeah. Because Gladiator, predating Gladiator, was the Mistress Frankenstein,
right.
I think. Or right around that same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they were...
This should be called the Mike Rasso Collection.
No. No. Well, you know what, John, thank you. I really appreciate that. But the fact is, producers don't really get the...
No.
No. Producers, stars, and directors get all the accolades. So.
Ain't it the truth?
Yeah. But it's kind of satisfying now, because now it's, you know, retrospect. Now these films are, you know, in the case of Gladiator, the earliest one. That's 10 years old, John.
Oh, my God.
10 years ago. So.
Wow.
Liner notes. I would like to say that... Ed Grant, our friend Ed.
Oh, yeah.
Writing the liner notes.
We should have him back here.
Yes.
Definitely.
He's doing an interview with The Misty Monday.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
That's right.
Don't ask any questions, because I don't know the answer. Okay. We're going to find out.
All right. Well, let's have him in next month.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, to ask him...
Get a Misty Monday update for everybody.
Misty Monday, for all of you who know who she is, I mean, she left the company in 2004, came back, did a few features. Last thing she did for camp was Splatter Beach. And then she appeared in Masters of Horror as her name, Erin Brown. She recently appeared in Cinemax's Lingerie, a series. And since Lingerie, I mean, we chatted about that in the earlier podcasts, we don't know what's going on. So that would be exciting.
There's something going on.
Yeah. And we'll be in touch with Darian Kane.
Oh, great.
We're always in touch with Ruby LaRocca. John, are you in touch with Ruby LaRocca?
Not as often as I'd like to be, but...
We promised to have Ruby back on. I think that would be a good time to have her back on. Well, when these when this DVD comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was prominent in a few of those movies. Yeah. There are some shots in there of her booty that are, like, as iconic to me as the last shot in The Godfather.
Right.
I'm telling you. He was like, look at that shot. Like, oh, my God.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So, anyways.
These are fine-looking women.
Yes, no doubt.
And fine people.
And she's a sweetheart.
Yes.
She's just the nicest person you could ask
for. You know, I have to tell you, I feel the same way about Ruby as I do Henrik, from the perspective of I get very proud.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I see someone who started here in early days, 10 years ago, because these folks are younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the early days, you know, I was in my 30s, and they were in their early 20s.
Right.
I mean, these are practically kids back then.
They're when I graduated high school, Ruby was born.
Yes. Yes. So to have talent come in and work with us, and then to see talent go on and do other things is, you know, it's very exciting.
Yeah, they're very ambitious, Ruby and Victor, with their
Chainsaw
Kiss projects.
Yeah.
So we should do nothing less than support them as much as possible.
So, and also, I mean, we're going to try to be there at the Chainsaw Kiss Night. I can't make a commitment to, but I am threatening to go to the President's Day down in Maryland.
Drive out there?
It's not that far.
No, it's 4 hours, 3 hours.
I'm going to tune in for the Night of the Living Dead Reanimated. I have not been able to make any of the screenings. They have had some screenings for
No kidding.
And there you have it. John, I think that's all I have.
It was pretty jam-packed.
It was good. It was exciting. It was upbeat. It was optimistic.
It was good to talk to other people instead of listening to us talk about the same shit over and over again. It's internet thieves.
Well, I think the new year brought, you know, the old was out and the new baby's in.
Yeah, it's time to move on.
It's time. There are people out there making films. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
these
that's
filmmakers,
what you got to concentrate on.
Yeah. And these guys are focused on the right thing,
right.
Which is the joy of filmmaking,
right.
The joy of making the film.
Right.
I mean, staging a music event to support the making of the film.
Right.
It's sort of like living it.
Right.
You know, which was similar to us when we started.
They're walking the walk and talking the talk.
Exactly. When we were making Titanic 2000, God, it wasn't like we were making it. Oh, who's that?
One ring each.
Your mom.
So are you talking about me again? By the way, Mrs. Russell is a triple bagger.
You know, I dropped that one mom bomb on you all those years ago. That was so major. Ever since you've been getting back at me.
Which mom?
It was a big one. I don't remember exactly.
It wasn't the one where we actually met up with my mom in the park, was it?
See, John and I do mom jokes. Which some people wouldn't have anything.
No,
of.
They don't. They get pissed.
They'd
off.
They'd be horrified.
They get really pissed.
You know, we do mom jokes, and I was ranking on John's mom
all day. We were shooting a music video up in a local park.
All fucking day.
All day we were doing the mom jokes back and forth.
All day. Mostly John's mom was getting it.
Yeah.
And then we're walking.
Which is always the case.
We're walking, and who comes walking up to us? Like walking down a path with her like jogging suit on.
She was walking with a friend in the park.
John's mom. And I could hardly contain myself.
And what did you say?
I'm like, oh, Mrs. Fideli, hi, how are you? You know, we were just talking about you.
She's like, oh, I hope it was something nice.
I said,
and that's it. He just ducked down behind the car and laughed so hard.
Yes.
Poor mom.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in.
Yes.
We'll be back next month.
Ooh.
Maybe with Ed Grant.
Maybe.
Maybe Ruby LaRocca. Maybe Dwayne Polkew.
Maybe.
But definitely us. Here's Henry Kudo's song.
Take it away with your uke.
Miley Cyrus, something about banging a two-headed.
Miley Cyrus gave birth to my two-headed monster.
Yeah, you go.
What?
Okay.
Hannah Montana, I wanna slam ya. Miley Cyrus is pregnant with my two-headed love child. Off hand.
Generation.